Okay, stop what you're doing, check your watch, and just look at the calendar. It is Saturday, January 31st, 2026. And if the air feels a little bit static, a little bit electric today, it's because the entire gaming world is currently holding its breath.
It really is the quiet before the storm, isn't it? We're sitting right on the edge of what could be a huge week for the industry.
Oh, no kidding. I mean, we are just days away from February 5th. That is the date. Circled in red, highlighted in neon, the confirmed Nintendo Direct. But before we get totally swept away by the hype train, we have a job to do. We need to ground ourselves in, where we actually are right now.
Exactly. Because to really get the significance of next week, you have to understand the last 8 months. It's so easy to get lost in the rumors, but the data, the actual data, tells a really fascinating story.
It does. So today we're doing a deep dive into the state of the Nintendo Switch 2.
And to guide us, we're unpacking this huge report. I mean, it is dense.
So dense. It's titled Nintendo Switch 2, the 2026 Roadmap and Direct Preview. It comes from a source, Inspector Gemini, over in the Tekken Army community. And I've read a lot of these, but this one brings the receipts.
It is remarkably comprehensive.
Yeah.
What I really like about this report is that it doesn't just throw out wild guesses. It builds a case. It looks at the hardware, the market, the sales data, and it explains why Nintendo is making these moves.
It sets the stage perfectly. So we're going to look at the Stormy launch and why that phrase is so important. We'll break down sales figures that honestly made me do a double take. And yes, we will get into the rumors about a certain plumber.
I knew it. You're just itching to get to the software to talk about Mario.
I can't help it. The speculation is too good, but I know the rules. We have to eat our vegetables first.
We do.
We have to talk about the box itself. Because without the box, the games are just ideas.
The box is the canvas. So, okay, let's rewind a bit. The report kicks off by looking in the rearview mirror. The Switch 2 launched back in June 2025, 8 months ago now.
And Inspector Gemini uses this very specific phrase, a stormy launch. And, looking at my Switch 2 right here, I love the thing, but June 2025, it was a bit rocky, wasn't it?
Oh, it was turbulent. We all have such short memories in tech. But the report is right. The supply constraints were severe. I mean, you couldn't find one for what, the first 3 months?
Without a chance.
And beyond that, there was a narrative problem. The reception to the launch library was mixed. People were asking, is this a real next step or just a Switch Pro?
Right, that was the big fear, that it wasn't a true generational leap. But here we are, 8 months on, and the report says the console has silenced critics. So how did they flip that script so fast?
It really comes down to two things that usually don't mix: portability and raw power. Once developers actually got their hands on it and started optimizing, the whole story changed. The report specifically compares its performance to PS4 Pro level power.
Okay, let's pause on that. PS4 Pro level. For home console, that sounds like ancient history. That's tech from a decade ago. Why is that impressive in 2026?
Because you have to think about the context. The PS4 Pro was a dedicated brick. It needed a wall outlet, it needed huge fans to shrink that kind of power into a device you can throw in a backpack and play on a plane. That is a huge engineering feat.
Right.
But it's not just the horsepower. There's a specific piece of tech in there, like a secret sauce, that bridges the gap.
And we're talking about DLSS. Deep learning supersampling.
That's the one, DLSS. This is the absolute game changer.
I feel like I see that acronym everywhere, and most people just kind of nod along. But let's break it down. What is this actually doing inside the Switch 2?
Okay, let's strip away the jargon. Normally, your graphics card has to draw every single pixel on the screen. For a 4K image, that's millions of pixels. That takes a ton of power, which makes heat, which kills your battery.
Both of which are death sentences for a handheld. Nobody wants a portable that sounds like a jet engine.
Precisely. So DLSS is basically, it's like using AI to cheat on a test, but still getting an A. The Switch 2 renders the game at a much lower, easier resolution, like 1080p. Then the dedicated AI cores look at that image and predict what a 4K version should look like.
So it's filling in the blanks.
It's filling in the blanks, but with an answer key it has already studied. It uses machine learning to upscale the image so accurately that to the human eye, you often can't tell the difference. So you get the crisp look of a high-end console, but the hardware is only doing half the work.
And that efficiency is why we're not seeing all those battery drain headlines we feared back in June.
It is exactly why. The report points out that this tech lets Nintendo just sidestep the old power versus portability trade-off. You aren't compromising anymore. And that has clearly resonated with the market, big time.
Resonated is putting it mildly. When I got to the sales section of this report, I had to stop and reread the number. I thought it was a typo.
It is a staggering statistic.
The report says that as of this month, January 2026, the Switch 2 has officially sold over 20 million units.
In 8 months.
To put that in context for everyone listening, that makes it the fastest selling console in history.
It beat the PlayStation 5.
It beat the PS5.
Beat its launch velocity. And remember the hype around the PS5. For the Switch 2 to outpace that, it really signals a shift in what people want.
Inspector Gemini boils it down to a simple formula: strong exclusives plus fair price.
It sounds almost too simple, doesn't it? But look at the market right now. Other companies are pushing consoles to $600, $700, chasing the absolute bleeding edge. Nintendo just said no.
They starred in their lane, kept it affordable.
Exactly. They kept the barrier to entry low. But a cheap box is just a doorstop without games. And that's where the strong exclusives part comes in.
Which is the perfect segue, because if you buy the box, you want to know the software is coming. And according to this report, the pipeline is about to burst wide open.
Which brings us to the main event. The reason for all the nerves around February 5th.
The Direct. The report calls it Year 2, Power Move 2.
In the headline act, the report says it's almost certain. We're looking at the return of the King. A new 3D Mario.
It's hard to believe how long it's been.
An eternity in game development terms.
The report points out that EPV Tokyo, that's the internal team that makes the 3D Marios, they've been basically silent since 2017. Since Super Mario Odyssey.
9 years. Think about that. 9 years of radio silence from one of the best development teams on the planet.
And that kind of silence usually means one of two things. Either it's development hell or they're building something so massive it takes a decade to get right.
And Inspector Gemini seems pretty sure it's the latter. The details in the report suggest this is not just Odyssey 2. The term they use is very specific. A true open world.
Okay, let's drill down on that. Because Odyssey had big open sandboxes. Bowser's Fury was one giant map. How is true open world any different?
Odyssey was segmented. You jumped in the ship, you saw a loading screen, you flew to the next kingdom. True open world means a seamless, interconnected map. No load screens. You could theoretically walk from the Mushroom Kingdom to a desert to a snow peak, and the game would never stop.
That's a huge technical hurdle for a portable device.
It is, but this is where that hardware talk pays off. The report says the new game is built on an engine that uses the Switch 2's hardware ray tracing.
Ray tracing. Okay, another buzzword. Most people hear that and just think, better lighting. What does it actually mean for gameplay?
So, ray tracing simulates how light actually bounces off surfaces in real time. Older games just baked the lighting in, it was static. But for gameplay, it's not just about looking pretty. The report uses this amazing image. Imagine throwing Cappy with real-time light reflections.
So if I throw my hat, I can see what's behind me reflected in it as it spins.
Exactly. Or picture Mario running through a new version of New Donk City, and you see the entire world reflected perfectly in puddles on the street.
Yeah.
It adds this sense of physical presence that you just can't fake.
It's the wow factor. It's the thing that makes you look at the screen and go, okay, my old Switch definitely could not do that.
That is the key. It's a statement. An open-world, ray-traced Mario proves the hardware can do modern high-end gaming.
Hmm.
But Mario's not the only one carrying that burden. We need to talk about Samus.
Right. Metroid Prime 4 Beyond, which thankfully we already have. It came out in December. I played it, beat it. It's incredible.
A huge critical success. But the Inspector Gemini report suggests the story isn't over. There's a not over yet narrative building.
This part surprised me. We're only 2 months out from launch, and we're already hearing rumors of a massive story DLC.
And not just a few new modes. The report specifically mentions a completely new planet. That's like an old-school expansion pack. A whole new chunk of game.
But why push Metroid so hard so soon? I love the series, but it's always been a bit more niche than Mario or Zelda.
The analysis here is really smart. The report argues Nintendo is using Metroid to prove AAA graphics belong on a hybrid console.
Ah, so it's a tech demo that just happens to be a great game.
Well, think about who plays Metroid. It's moody, it's detailed sci-fi, it appeals to the gamer who usually plays on a high-end PC or a PS6.
Eh.
The graphics junkies.
The pixel counters.
Exactly. By pushing a huge DLC that likely looks even better than the main game, they're telling that hardcore audience, we can do this too. We can do dark, gritty, high-fidelity sci-fi.
It's fighting that old perception that Nintendo is just for cartoons.
It validates the hardware's identity.
Yeah.
And speaking of serious games, This leads us right into the third-party section of the report. And this is where things get really interesting with Microsoft.
This part caught me totally off guard. I mean, we know Nintendo and Microsoft have been getting friendly, but the report points to that 10-year Call of Duty deal as just the beginning.
That deal was the icebreaker. It proved they could work together. But now, now we're looking at the Fallout franchise.
Fallout on a Nintendo console. You know, I remember playing Skyrim on the original Switch. It was impressive that it ran, but it was showing its age. And usually when we hear about big modern games on Switch, there's that catch I hate.
The dreaded cloud version.
Ugh, nobody wants that. But Inspector Gemini is talking about a full Fallout 4 port running natively.
And this all comes back to what we said at the start, the PS4 Pro-level power. With the Switch 2, a native port of Fallout 4 is completely feasible. It wouldn't be some blurry, compromised mess. It'd be the real deal.
But then the report goes even further into what it calls wild rumor territory, a Fallout 5 teaser.
That is the boldest prediction in the whole document.
Can you even imagine a Bethesda RPG teaser at a Nintendo Direct? It feels like it breaks the laws of physics.
It would be so symbolic. Even if Fallout 5 is years away, just flashing that logo at a Nintendo event sends a message to the entire industry. It says, this ecosystem is open for business.
The walls are coming down.
And it confirms that developers don't have to be afraid of the hardware anymore. The source says the console's power now allows for heavy ports.
Yeah.
If Microsoft wants their biggest IP on a handheld, the Switch 2 can finally carry it.
It's amazing how all these threads connect back. The hardware power enables ray tracing for Mario, which enables the high-fidelity Metroid, which attracts partners like Microsoft. It's a whole ecosystem strategy.
It's a virtuous cycle. Better hardware brings better games, which brings more sales, 20 million, and counting, which brings more developers. And right now, that cycle is spinning very, very fast.
So let's bring it all home. The report wraps up with a clear call to action. Book February 5th.
Probably 2 p.m. Pacific, if history is any guide. That seems to be their slot.
Right. And for us, it's just about being ready for the news.
It's going to be a defining moment for gaming in 2026. We're going to see if these rumors, the open world Mario, the Metroid expansion, the Fallout stuff, if it all actually happens.
Okay, so let's do a quick recap of what we've learned from Inspector Gemini. The Switch 2 survived a stormy launch to become a record-breaking sales juggernaut.
Driven by a strategy of strong exclusives and fair pricing, and backed by hardware that closes the gap with tech like DLSS.
And next week, we are looking at a potential reveal of an open-world, ray-traced 3D Mario that could redefine the whole genre.
Plus, a massive expansion for Metroid and the possibility of Western RPG giants like Fallout finally making a real home on Nintendo hardware.
It's a lot. It really feels like Nintendo is operating on a different level right now.
They are. But, you know, looking at all of this, there's one thought that keeps sticking in my mind. Something bigger than just the games.
What's that?
We've spent this whole time talking about ray tracing, seamless open worlds, heavy third-party ports like Fallout. Just a few years ago, those were terms you only used for big, heavy boxes that sat under your TV.
Right. That was couch gaming, tethered to a wall. You played puzzle games on the subway, not something with ray tracing.
Exactly. So here's my question for you, and for everyone listening. If a portable device, something you throw in your bag, can now handle ray tracing, massive open worlds, and the same heavy ports as the big consoles, does the distinction between home console and handheld even matter anymore?
Wow. Yeah. That's a good question. Are we even playing on handhelds or just portable consoles?
I think the line has finally been erased.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole idea of handheld games being smaller or lesser is dead. And I think next week, Nintendo's going to prove it.
That is something to chew on while we wait for February 5th. Mark your calendars, get ready, and we will be watching right along with you.
Absolutely. It's going to be a fun week.
Thanks for diving deep with us. Catch you on the next one.